Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Season 4, Episode 2, The Lying Detective. It's Sherlock. I'm sorry, I forgot to say that first. Sherlock, Season 4, Episode 2, The Lying Detective.
Yep, that's what we're covering. And yeah, we're excited, actually, because we're getting close to the end of Sherlock. And it's an interesting thing. These episodes are quite long.
Well, they're the same length as any of the other ones.
They feel different. We're going to talk about that, too. But this is going to be fun. We have our usual caveats, which include that there will be spoilers, there's going to be cursing, and we're having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having lemon-lime Gatorade because electrolytes are good for you.
Well, it's a little bit like saline, right? You know, I guess you could use that as an electrolyte.
Sure. What are you having?
I am having strawberry milk, except that we didn't have, you know, like strawberry powder, so I put like strawberry puree in it.
What kind of texture will that make?
Yeah, that's the thing. The texture is a bit weird, but the taste is fine.
I'm sure the taste is fine. It's strawberry and milk.
Yeah, exactly. Strawberries and milk go together, but the texture and there's a large chunk of something solid.
Mom would hope it's strawberry.
It is. I mean, there's only the puree and the milk in here, but at the same time, it's like, oh.
You used the strawberry mix?
Yes.
Jesus. Okay. That's a choice. You could have had chocolate milk.
No. Because strawberry milk, visually, there is a weirdly commercial, childlike element to this that obviously we will talk about, but that is the reason that I was inspired to make this, is that there's almost this childish glee on the part of the bad guy in this episode that I feel is kind of like pink and chocolate has some depth. Pink, you know, strawberry milk, not so much. So let's get into it.
All right, so let's get into episode 2, The Lying Detective. John has a new therapist and talks about his morning and how he hasn't been able to sleep, he can't cope, and has turned to alcohol, so he has Rosie staying with friends, aka Molly, because he has no friends.
Well, and I love this too. The therapist, and she starts asking weird questions, but we see Mary in the room.
Yes, he feels like he's letting Rosie down, and he talks to a ghost version of Mary. He doesn't tell the therapist about seeing a ghost version of Mary. He also mentions that he hasn't seen Sherlock because he's locked himself away and hasn't been in touch, which, I mean, is what John wanted, at least that he wasn't in touch with him. But there's a loud car chase outside and someone gets out of a luxury car.
All right. So before we get into that, John is talking to the therapist and he flashes back to talking to Mary, and you know, Mary's telling him, like, you need to tell a therapist about me, the fact that you're seeing me. And one of the things that he says is, why can't we just say that things are unacceptable? That the fact that I'm not taking care of my child is unacceptable, and that there are consequences to that.
Because the therapist is saying that, oh, yeah, it's understandable for you to not be able to cope some nights. It's okay for this. And he's just like, no, it's not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. And we see Mary behind the therapist crying. And the therapist starts asking about Sherlock, which it's an interesting thing that she does.
Well, I mean, he's well known with Sherlock, so.
Right. So the car, we see this luxury car. It's basically wrecking outside. There are helicopters. It cuts to a famous person by the name of Culverton Smith, who's a philanthropist, an entrepreneur. He's like clearly a huge celebrity. And he is starting a board meeting. And we see nurses walking down a hallway with a bunch of IVs during, you know, his monologue in this board meeting about how he has things that he has to, one of the worst things in the world is to tell your darkest secret. And he has something that he wants to share, but he can't, you know, once you say it, you can't unsay it. So he wants to use some experimental drug on them. And the experimental drug will help them, you know, forget what they've been told. There are people in this boardroom. There's a young female that he refers to as Faith that turns out to be his daughter.
And he does this weird thing. I mean, I don't know why I focused in on this so much, but like when he says her name, he's behind her and he grabs a fistful of her hair from the back. And I'm just like, if my dad ever like went up to me, it was just like, this is Natalie, and like grabbed my hair, I'd just be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Especially if I'm a grown ass woman, I'd be like, what are you doing? Why are we doing that? I mean, I love my father, but why that's creepy behavior.
It's
Not to
creepy.
say they have a creepy relationship. It's certainly not a great relationship, but it's just
He's a creepy
weird.
dude. So Culverton Smith is definitely a creepy dude. And a lot of this is intercut too with what appears to be like some sort of brain fog that Faith is having after the fact. So there are a lot of time jumpy, weird, not linear storytelling things going on here. And also the unreliable narrative stuff, narrator stuff that's kind of going on with this too.
Yeah.
But we see that he is telling these people, like, look, I've got to tell you, I want to tell to tell this. And Faith is kind of writing things down, and she's writing down that her father tells this board that he is going to kill someone, or he wants to kill someone, and he needs to, and she can't remember who it is. We then see that this person that looks, it's Faith, or is presenting herself as Faith. She
You're
has,
giving away a twist,
I'm
but
sorry.
just by saying you, oh, it's Faith. Just call her
All right,
Faith.
so Faith is at Sherlock's apartment, with and part of how we know that she has a cane. There are, definitely some things involved there. She has this written list of things that she was trying to write down while she was trying to remember what her dad was saying. But Sherlock is high as a fucking kite. I mean, he is sweating, he is manic.
And even Wiggins, who's staying with Sherlock and basically being his supplier, is like, maybe you're having too much. And
Yeah.
that's coming from him,
And Wiggins has like basically a meth lab in the kitchen, we find out. But it's
essentially.
like, yeah, it's really kind of creepy. But he she is at acts like she's very, very desperate. And Wiggins keeps opening the door, like, who are you talking to? And he's like, my friend here, whatever. And in a flash, like while he is talking to Wiggins, Sherlock realizes that she might be suicidal. So
Might be. She certainly is.
she's very upset. She's about to go out of 221B. Mrs. Hudson stops Sherlock because Sherlock's, all sweaty and whatever, and he's like, "What? Where are you going?" And he's like, "I'm going with my friend." She's like, "What friend?" She doesn't see or the person that Sherlock is with. So.
I would also like to say the reason he knows that she might be suicidal is that, first of all, he knows the weight of her handbag because he like threw it to her and it was really heavy. And so he figured out that there was a gun in there. She had no plans to leave. There's no taxi waiting outside in a torrential downpour. And she also has marks that look like she is doing self-harm. And on her arm. And so he's just like, your life is not your own. Keep your hands off it. Stop it. Because he has, I think Mary's death, and I think the reason why I've become a little bit more okay with the fact that Mary dies at the beginning of the season is that flip of him treating life a little bit more delicately. And yeah, and it's a life is more sacred to him now. And it is an interesting flip for Sherlock since he's just like, yeah, whatever before. But yeah, he mentions you're suicidal, you're allowed chips. It's one of the only perks.
Right. So, because he invites her, like, let's just go. And so they wander around London, and we realize Mycroft has been notified that Sherlock has left his apartment. And as they're wandering around London, like helicopters are coming out and following Sherlock, and Faith says to Sherlock, oh, is Big Brother watching you? He's like, in more ways than you know. Mycroft starts calling John, like, hey, we need to do something about this. Sherlock's out in the world and it's a security risk. And we see Mycroft and Lady Smallwood talking, and she's like, well, look, he's just high. But then they realize that Sherlock, the way he is walking, spells fuck off.
That's so funny.
It is hilarious. Mycroft slips when he's talking to John, and he says that Sherlock is a security risk, and I can't take a risk because of what happened last time. And so Lady Smallwood asks him after Mycroft gets off the phone with John, so what about Sharonford? Like she knows all about it, and he's like, oh, everything's secure, everything's fine. That's Mycroft's response.
Yeah, and so Sherlock and Faith walk all night, and he says it's impossible for her life to be turned on just one word, because that's how she phrased it when she was talking about how my life was turned on one word, and it was the name of the person that my father wanted to kill, and I don't remember what it is. And he's just like, it's weird that you said one word because names are usually two. And so he also has her pay for his services by giving him the gun, which he throws in the river, and he tells her that her life isn't her own. Keep your hands off it. And
He uses the phrase, death happens to everyone else. Your death happens to everyone else. That's
And then he thinks, and there was a moment in the last episode we didn't mention of him thinking of him, his younger self playing with a dog with a song playing in the background, and that happens again. Faith disappears, just completely gone. And he wanders around London, and he realizes that the word that she was referring to is anyone. He Kilderton Smith is a serial killer who will just kill anyone. And so Sherlock gets found in the street, and he eventually makes it back to Baker Street. And Wiggins is like, "You've had too much, and that's coming from me. You need to stop." And so then we cut to 3 weeks later.
Hang on. So part of what Sherlock says too is that, what happens if someone is rich and powerful and is necessary to our society and they can just kill anyone?
It's a very interesting thought experiment.
It is.
So then we see the car chase and with the cops with the luxury car, and then we find out it was Mrs. Hudson driving.
Yeah. Oh, hey, she is playing Beethoven's fourth, the choral,
It's Ode to Joy, I thought.
that is Beethoven's
Okay, sorry.
fourth movement of the Ninth Symphony is
Okay,
Ode to
sorry.
Joy. Yeah.
I don't
It's
know the
one of,
movement of the Ode to Joy, sorry.
that's disappointing. But she's playing it really loudly,
I
and
wasn't an orchestra major.
she
Anyway,
wasn't
she
either.
there's a very funny line that Mrs. Hudson has. The cop who gets out of the car and approaches Mrs. Hudson as she's going to John, and he's like, "Do you have any idea what speed you were driving?" And she's like, "Of course not. I was on the phone." And
And
it's
by the way,
so,
it's for you.
it's the government. It's very funny. Like, I love the way she's just like, "Of course I don't know how fast I was going. I was on the phone, which is also illegal." And
Well, it's illegal here anyway.
yeah, Mycroft handles the cops while she complains to John about Sherlock's erratic behavior.
I love this so much because she's complaining about Sherlock is shooting up the apartment. He's reciting Shakespeare. And at the end of this Shakespeare speech, and you probably recognize the speech, I
St.
was.
Crispin's Day speech from Henry V.
Excellent. And he says the
You didn't know
games.
that? You've pointed it out to me, and you said it was St. Crispin's Day, and then I was just like, I forgot the name of the speech, but
I must have been having like a hard time when I was watching yesterday. Anyway,
it's okay.
so and right at the end of it, he says the game's afoot, and it's like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
So.
the weird thing about the St. Crispin's Day speech is I was looking it up just to double check it was St. Crispin's Day, because of course Henry V has a billion speeches in his own play, but in both his play and Henry IV Part One and Two. But he it because it begins with or at least this part of it begins with "Once more into the breach, good friends, once more,"
Yes.
which I thought was a different speech than the St. Crispin's Day speech, but
Nope.
from the research, the very minimal research I did, and anyone could correct me, I'm pretty sure it's the St. Crispin's Day speech. I have not read Henry V or seen a version of Henry V in a long time, but I'm pretty sure I was ba mostly basing that off of the conversation we had before where you said it was St. Crispin's Day, and I was like, yeah.
It is. I honestly think that it is.
It's
But
a
go.
very famous speech from Henry V. It's a great speech. a rousing speech, and he's basically saying it to himself to rouse him up and be like, I can go against this awful guy. It's just like, okay.
He says the game's afoot, and John's like, well, did you call the police? And Mrs. Hesson's like, I'm not a civilian.
I didn't call the police. I'm not a civilian. I love her.
I love her.
She's at her A game in this episode. It's fucking fantastic.
She's amazing anyway. I mean, we get just, I mean, I could use a little bit more of her, but she's just brilliant. Anyway, go ahead.
So Sherlock has publicly accused Culverton of being a serial killer. It's all over the news, and so it's bad because he's been tweeting and he's high as a kite. And Mrs. Hudson tries to convince John to see Sherlock. She even like starts crying, and then she's like, but you nobody else matters, you do, will you please just even examine him like a doctor? And he's like, yeah, fine, whatever, maybe if I have time. And she's like, do you promise? And then he's just like, yes, I promise. And she's like, okay. And then she opens the trunk and it's Sherlock in handcuffs, like shivering, and she's like, all right, well, examine him. And so they let Sherlock out of the trunk. John got a call from Culverton Smith saying he's sent a car to the address Sherlock gave him 2 weeks ago, and it's the right address. It's the therapist house address. And so John's just like, how the fuck would you know where to send this car 2 weeks ago? And Sherlock just tries to, he kind of dismisses that, and he's just like trying to convince John to believe him about Smith being a serial killer, and how he's like the worst person ever, is like probably the one of the worst people he's ever gone up against. And I'm just like, you've gone against Moriarty
and Magnuson. I mean,
yeah, don't even get me started. I understand, but he is afraid because of this person's influence on everybody else as well. So John is like, I don't know, he holds out his hand for like a handshake, and then he basically was just using it to see if there are even needle marks on Sherlock's arms, because he's assuming that he's faking the drug thing. And he's like, oh, you're not fucking faking it, you're actually that high, like what are you talking about? And Sherlock's like, of course I haven't been faking it, like name one time I faked something like this. And he's just like, you faked your death for 2 years. And he's like, other than that.
This whole exchange is just so funny, because you know, we've got Mrs. Hudson kind of interceding a little bit there, and he's like, I wasn't faking it, but the boot was just mean. He's treating this says, and we actually had a flashback to her getting him in cuffs, which is fucking brilliant. Like, she's
not getting him handcuffs. She's just like, she's holding him at gunpoint and being like, you, I know there are handcuffs in your kitchen drawer. I've borrowed them a few times.
and then she's like, my husband was a drug dealer. You're not the first addict I've dealt with.
Yeah, you're not my first druggie. And also, I love her being like, oh yeah, no, how you? She got some people from the deli to help get him into the trunk of the car. And he's just like, they dropped me twice. And she's like, you know why? Because they know you.
Yeah, because you're an asshole.
So fucking funny.
So funny. Says like, you, Sherlock's just like, I can't do this, I can't go up against him alone, you look at the condition that I'm in, he's basically, I need you, John. And John's like, well, I'm gonna want a second opinion about what's going on with you, like to really assess how bad you are, and you know, I'm gonna want Molly Hooper,
who saw through your bullshit years ago.
Well, which you know, he's on the verge of saying, he's like, I'm going to want a second opinion. And Sherlock's like, yeah, I'm going to apologize for this now.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, you're not going to like this. And Molly knocks on the door, and he's just like, and John's just like, he asked you to do this 2 weeks ago. And she's like, yeah, about 2 weeks. Yeah.
Maybe three.
And then Sherlock just starts like walking outside, and he's just like, so if you want to know how I can predict the future. And then John's like, nope, I don't want to know. And so they go to meet Smith. Sherlock is riding in the ambulance.
There's one other like very quick thing that happens as they're walking out. Sherlock gets in the back of the ambulance to have Molly examine him. John's talking to Mrs. Hudson, and he's like, hey, you know, could I borrow your car sometime? She's like, no.
Well, the way that she put it, she's just like, John, if there's anything you need, anything at all, let me know. And he's like, can I borrow the car sometimes? And he's like, she's like, no. Anything but that, really. But yeah, they make it to a set where Culberton is filming a commercial for cereal, and it's a whole like thing about him being a serial killer.
Yeah, and the name of the cereal is like Nash.
Yeah, something like that, which does not sound appetizing, and no. It clearly isn't because he spits it out. But Sherlock, they arrive, and Molly basically tells Sherlock, "You have, if you're going at the rate that you keep going, you're going to die in weeks." And Sherlock's just like, yeah, whatever. And John's just like, it's not a game. And he's just like, no, it's not a game, it's a plan. And John's just like, oh, fuck off. And so they are going to join Culverton Smith. He's watching it, and they're watching him film the commercial, and of course he's making the double entendre about serial killer and whatever, and he's making direct eye contact with Sherlock the entire time.
And yeah, he looks so manic, and he has like this really creepy laugh.
This actor's fantastic. He can do creepy so well.
His teeth are unbelievably foul.
Yeah, I know. So they are going to join Smith on a hospital visit with kids, and they are in the car waiting to go, and Sherlock pickpocketed Smith's phone and mm-hmm. sent a text and deleted it, and he hands it back to Smith, and he's just like, yeah, no, we'll see what happens there. So Smith essentially sponsored a wing at the hospital as part of his philanthropy, and a nurse who's there is a huge fan of the blog but doesn't realize it's John's. She just thinks Sherlock writes the blog, and then when John's just like, no, it is mine, and she's like, oh, it's gone a bit downhill, hasn't it?
It's really funny. So Culberton Smith asks Sherlock to speak to these kids, and of course he does not know how to have a conversation with children, and so he starts talking about his cases, and he does this very intellectual discussion about killers, and John and Mary and John's head are they're like, he should have worn the hat.
Because we'll love the hat.
Yeah, the kids would love the hat, whatever. And so Culberton Smith then asks him about catching a killer, especially like a serial killer, because it's got to be hard to find them because they choose people at random, as opposed to like with most killers, they just like kill people that they know, right? And then he's having this conversation in front of these children, and he's like, you only catch the dumb ones. And he's like, what if someone was like the queen, like they had money and power and fame, they're basically untouchable, right? And then as they are going down the hall, Sherlock just like opens a door, like they're supposed to be going to a specific spot. Sherlock opens a door, and there's a bunch of IV bags around a conference table, and Smith is like, oh yeah, that's our monthly meeting, we all opt into ignorance at these meetings. It's like, and having sat through a bunch of like board type meeting things, it's like, there is a lot of brain death that goes on in these meetings. It's an interesting way to analogize that. But Smith takes Sherlock and of course John, because John's going with him, and the whole time he's talking about his favorite serial killer, H.H. Holmes, who built a hotel in Chicago to kill people. During the World's Fair. Like, there were all kinds of different rooms, different ways of killing people. And he takes Sherlock to the morgue, and he's talking about this hotel. And he's like,
he says the morgue is his favorite room.
Right. But he also says that Holmes, H.H. Holmes was stupid because, what if you had a hospital, wouldn't that hide more bodies, blah blah blah, and Sherlock's like, are you confessing?
John's like, are you confessing? And then he's just like, no. But I think what's interesting about this conversation is when John mentions that, Smith's like, well, listen, there are two options here, John. Either I'm a serial killer, or Sherlock is off his tits on drugs and accusing me of being a serial killer. What do you think it is? But then Sherlock is just like, oh, I miscalculated. I realized that the text being sent would allow this amount of time for this person to get here. And it's Faith. He texted Faith to come. And when Faith comes in, He's feeling so confident because it's just like, well, I know Faith. I talked to her. She wanted me to figure this out, all this stuff. Faith comes in and he doesn't recognize her as the person that he was talking to before. And so he starts thinking, oh, I must have hallucinated this woman. And so Sherlock, he starts going crazy. He thinks that everything's wrong, and he got a scalpel and is about to attack Smith. And this is flashing in between the confrontation and John's interrogation with Lestrade afterwards. And they which during which they watch an interview with Smith saying he's not going to press any charges and he wants to move Sherlock to his favorite room, which John finds weird because he said his favorite room was the morgue.
Well,
And
right. But one of the other things that has happened is
no,
that
yeah, it's going to,
John has intervened when
yeah, it's
Sherlock
going to flash back to that, yeah.
right. So Sherlock pulled the scalpel. John intervened and basically beat the shit out of Sherlock. And so he, because Sherlock is injured, he is now actually a patient at the hospital. And so when
Well,
Ed is talking about, oh, he's getting the best of care.
yeah,
He's
but
clearly been
during
injured.
that part where he's beating J Sherlock up after he does it, Culverton's like, no, stop. And then Sherlock's like, no, it's okay. I killed his wife. And John says, yes, you did. And he still blames him, and Sherlock blames himself as well. So John visits Sherlock in the hospital. He is still unconscious, and essentially, and the nurse is like, oh, he'll be up soon, I'm sure. And then John's like, now I'm here to say goodbye, and he leaves his old walking stick with Sherlock, which I didn't know why they I don't know why he kept it for so long, but nostalgia, I suppose. And so John, before he gets to leave, gets a call from Mycroft to get in the car and meet him, of course, because that's a shit. I love the way they cut it short, though. He's just like immediately like, hello, Mycroft, and then Mycroft's like, get in the car. And then there's no pretense anymore. It's just like, all right, this is our relationship now, just get in the freaking car. And so when John leaves and the nurse leaves, there is a secret door going
Secret
into,
panel,
going into the hospital room where Sherlock is, and Culverton Smith just takes out a chair and looks at Sherlock. It's very creepy. So Mycroft is at the flat. He's cleaning it to find out what caused this whole bender thing, and Mary's ghost encourages John to ask about the last time Mycroft referred to the secret thing, and John immediately is like, you have a secret brother. And Mycroft's like, moving on. Moving on.
No, I don't have a secret brother.
You misheard. Mrs.
Yes.
Hudson has a monologue about, like, because
I love her.
she's talking to Mycroft, and Mycroft, and she's just like, you're trying to figure out why Sherlock did this, and Mycroft's like, yeah, that's what we're trying to do. And she's just like, you're hilarious, you're actually a dumbass. No, he does all of this based off of emotion. Like, if he's bored, he shoots the wall, and whenever there's an unanswered question, he always stabs it. That's just what he does. And so when John thinks about that, he goes over to where the mantle where he usually keeps things stabbed with a knife, and he looks at the Miss Me from Mary DVD, and he puts it in, and everyone's gathered around, he's watching it, and then John is too much for John, and he feels like he can't watch it. And then Mrs. Hudson's like, no, everybody out, this is my friend, that's his dead wife, you need to leave. And Mycroft is the one that stays behind, and she says, fine, if you want to say the line, fine,
No, you go ahead and do it.
get out of my house, you reptile.
Right. So in the previous exchange where she is basically like letting Mycroft have it and telling him he's stupid, she's like, what he says is this merely stream of consciousness abuse? I love how well written this series is. But yeah, get out of my house, you reptiles, just wonderful. And the delivery is fantastic. John watches Mary and watches her tell Sherlock to save John. We have this intercut now with Sherlock and John, and they talk about
Sherlock and John.
no, Sherlock and Culverton Smith, and they talk about he wants Sherlock to say,
I want you to kill me. And John rushes out to go to the hospital. He rushes out of 2201B to go to the hospital. We see Culverton Smith put on a glove, and Sherlock says, "I don't want to die."
Culverton wants to hear that. He doesn't necessarily, I mean, like, it's a bonus that he want that Sherlock wants him to kill him, but he re what he really wants is for it not to be true, and that he actually doesn't want to die.
Smith starts upping this saline drip.
Well, he thinks it's overdosing him,
Yeah,
but
right. We think it's painkillers. Like at the time, we think that it's like medication. So Mary has, we also see the video too. So Mary has told Sherlock the only way to save John is to make him save you. And so Culverton Smith is getting so happy about killing people, and he starts monologuing, which is like, again, creepy. The man is creepy, creepy, creepy.
so creepy.
And then what he starts talking about is like, dead people are all of like alike. Once they're dead, they are things, and you can own them. Smith, realizes the drugs, the increased drug dosage isn't making it having an effect. So he tries to smother Sherlock. And we hear Mary saying that Sherlock has to put himself in harm's way. And then we see John kind of break into the hospital room and save Sherlock. And there's a recording device in the walking stick. It's kind of cute how they get to that. There are a couple of good phrases in there. But Smith has confessed, then starts confessing to Lestrade in detail. Like, he has hundreds and he wants to keep going. Like, I can go all night. And Lestrade's like, "We'll come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it later."
Can I talk about this conversation that comes next?
Sure.
Okay.
Because
So,
again, that again was like a good place to end the episode, and then we have a bunch of other endings.
no, I like this scene.
I like the scenes. I don't think they all feel like they're final, and then it's like one more.
I understand what you mean, but I do like each of the scenes. I just think that they could have been edited together a little bit better. So Sherlock and John are back at the flat. He tells John that he really thought it was the daughter, Faith, but I guess he was wrong and he was off his tits on drugs. So, I mean, it could have just been a hallucination. Everyone is taking turns supervising Sherlock. Molly's going to be there in like 20 minutes. And then John's just like, I might actually head out early because I have to take care of my daughter. And Sherlock's like, oh yeah, of course, go. But Mary, the ghost, is just like, no, John, stay, talk. It's very funny. I love that she's like the voice of reason of like, please just talk to him. And John says, comes back in and he says Sherlock didn't kill Mary and it was her choice to jump in front of the bullet and take it for him. That was completely her choice, and it's not Sherlock's fault. And Sherlock tells him, by saving my life, she put a value on it, and it's a currency I don't know how to spend, which is a beautiful way of putting it, because he puts very little value in on his own life, but he puts so much value on the people around him, his close friends and family, that it when something like that happens, he doesn't know what to do with himself. And so Sherlock, again, Sean's about to leave, and then Sherlock gets a text, and it's a
The orgasm
moan,
sound.
and it's a moan, and we know what that means. That's the woman, and it's Irene Adler. We love to see it.
What do
And
you do?
John deduces that it's Sherlock's birthday. And he teases him about Irene, and Sherlock says, oh, well, I don't text back, which is contradicted later, but John goes on a rant about how Sherlock has a living woman who likes him and he is ignoring her. You are wasting this amazing chance. And he tells him to text her because it can be over before you know it. And John basically says that Mary taught him to be the man she already thought he was. He is not perfect, but she helped make him better. And then he confesses to Ghost Mary that he cheated on her, and the girl, him and the girl texted constantly, but that's all it was. But he did want more, and he still does. And he feels guilty about that. But the Ghost Mary just says, well, Dr. Watson, get the hell on with it. And which
Right,
is a
get the hell
very,
on with being that man that I thought you were.
yeah, and go on with your life. And Sherlock comforts John while he cries. It's such a good scene of like you see Martin Freeman cover his eyes, but you see like all the tears dripping down his face, and Sherlock just gets up, puts his tea down, and just gives him a hug, and he says it's okay, and then John's like, no, it's not, and then Sherlock's like, you're right, it's not, but it is what it is. And Sherlock, after a little while, Sherlock says it was just texting between him and the girl, and sometimes he even texts the woman. It's trying not to do it, but sometimes I give into the fancy, and which is very funny to me. I like that he does that. And he has this, there's this great line exchange of Sherlock says, it's an unpleasant thought, but I think we might all just be human. And John says, even you? And Sherlock's like, no, even you. Because there's, again, with John being the moral compass, he's put on a bit of a pedestal for the in the show about like, well, he's the brave one. He's really, he's perfect. He's going to save the day. He's going to save the people. He's just really good person. But he is still human and he makes mistakes. And I think that it's nice that the show is recognizing that. I wish it hadn't been this way, but it is what it is. But Sherlock also puts on the hat, and there's a moment where Ghost Mary's just like, I think that he should put on the hat for me because I'm dead, as like a memorial to me. And he puts on the hat and he's like, I'm Sherlock Holmes. I wear the damn hat. Isn't that right, Mary? So clearly he probably was hallucinating Mary too. And John doesn't see Mary anymore, and he just smiles to himself because he feels like she was haunting him because of the guilt that he was feeling about this affair and her him her never knowing and her thinking dying thinking he was a perfect person, and or at least more perfect than he was, and he felt guilty about that, but now that that's been resolved, he feels a little bit better. And so we have a little bit of a montage. John goes to his therapist talking about like how things have kind of gone back to normal.
And a great ending, wouldn't it? But that's not the so,
this is necessary to set up the next episode. But well,
you could have had it at the beginning of the next episode.
No, but that wouldn't be like a cliffhanger. Anyway, Sherlock is back to solving cases. Mycroft is getting flirty with Lady Smallwood. I thought she had a husband. Maybe the husband's dead.
Husband died.
I forgot the husband died.
Yeah, the
husband. Anyway, and she gives him her private number, and he's having this debate about whether or not he throws it away, but he doesn't, which is funny. Sherlock
committed suicide, for what it's worth. Whatever.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't remember. But then Sherlock finds Faith's note, the original note, and he's just like, "Holy shit, she was real." Holy God. Oh my God.
Exactly. And so he's realizing that there was something very unnerving going on. Like there is an undercurrent here of something is not right.
So it turns out the therapist starts like saying some things that she shouldn't know, and it's a bit weird.
She starts saying things in this therapy session with John, where she is talking about
the secret brother.
Like, well, did you ever find out who the secret brother was? And John's like, I didn't tell you about that. She's like, didn't you?
And he's like, I'm pretty sure I didn't.
I didn't. And she's like,
he hasn't even told Sherlock, I'm sure. So,
So she takes off her glasses, and it's like one of those Clark Kent kind of things where she starts like unmasking herself.
Mm-hmm. And taking out color contacts,
only one of the color contacts.
Yeah, only one of them to make her look cool
or creepy.
Very creepy.
We realize that the therapist is the same woman that John had been texting with, and then she reveals that she is the secret one. And John,
well, she was also Faith, fake Faith,
and
Culvert. Apparently, Culverton Smith gave her the original note via a mutual friend who got them in touch. I wonder who that mutual friend could have been. Maybe a criminal mastermind. We'll never know. Maybe
Moriarty.
Maybe. And she also killed the old therapist to use her house. And she says her name is Eros Holmes, Sherlock and Mycroft's secret sister, which means the East Wind, by the way, the god of the East Wind.
Yeah.
What an interesting.
Greek. My parents were into weird names.
Yeah. And then she shoots John.
Yeah. OMG.
That's
the and we have a cliffhanger. Like, wow. Okay. Things are going to be happening now. So that is the end of the episode. What were your best parts?
My best parts are the unreliable narrator aspect to this. I like that Sherlock, even though there have been episodes where he, like Hounds of the Baskerville, and even Reichenbach Fall, where he feels like he can't trust himself. I like that this in this situation, he actually can't. Like, right. He has a general plan, but he does actually get off his tits on drugs. And he forgot parts of the plan. I think he tells John, it's like, I had other plan Bs, like when I was being smothered. I had other plans, but I forgot all of them because I was high. So it wouldn't have worked out, would it? John and Sherlock's talk at the end, I love, because as much as I hate in the last episode making John feel like he's not needed for the story anymore, I'm glad that they brought him back into the fold in a major way and reaffirmed how important he is to Sherlock, and them having a really human moment of John genuinely grieving. Because John, we haven't really seen him cry about Mary. We saw him like grunt about it in the last episode. He was very upset. Obviously, he can't cope. He's using alcohol, that kind of stuff. But we haven't seen him really break down crying. And I think it's because he's been really bottling things up about it and feeling so guilty about like doing all these things to her before she died and not knowing, and it all of that guilt was eating him up. And so having that talk where Sherlock's like, you're human, we all make mistakes, it's horrible, it's awful, it's not great, you don't have to accept it, it is what it is, and it is shit. It just, I think that's a line for line what is said. And Mrs. Hudson is fantastic in this episode. I love her so much. She is hilarious. She also has her moments where she's standing up to Mycroft, who sometimes just treats her like the housekeeper, and she's just over it. She knows these boys so well, and they trust her completely, and there's a reason why. And right. I'm glad that we're getting to see all the culmination of her as a character in this episode, really. The erratic Henry V speech is everything to me. That is so fucking funny. He's literally running around a room covered in pictures of this one, like, philanthropist. Like, imagine you just, like, you leave your friend for 2 weeks, and then you come back, and their room is covered in newspaper clippings of this random rich dude, and they're running around with a gun quoting the St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V, and they're Benedict Cumberbatch.
Shooting the walls.
It's funny. It is a rallying speech, which is appropriate for this episode of like getting the band back together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very funny. I like the way they've been intercutting Shakespeare into this season. Yeah. They don't really do it in the next episode, which is a shame. I wish it was like a complete like set, like just choose a random thing for the last one. It's a secret sister. It could be literally anything, but that is most Shakespeare, to be fair. But the Irene
secret
reference.
Sister. Isn't that a Twelfth Night thing? Somebody's secret sister.
It's not really secret, but they think they're dead, but yeah. It is what it is. Anyway, the Irene reference is very funny to me. I love that they brought that back. Just the text, and and I also love that we're not insulting John's intelligence, because I like that he's making these deductions, and even though Ghost Mary is the one urging him to like say it out loud, he is making deductions like, oh, well, I heard you like misspeak to me earlier, Mycroft, you have a secret brother, and oh, just from a text he can tell, oh, it's your birthday. She's not just texting you on any time. This is your birthday. I love that she knows his birthday and John didn't. That's so funny to me. Maybe she did her research. I don't know.
Well, but it's like going Hamish is his middle name.
Yeah. Exactly. She just knows random things. Lady Smallwood. I love her attitude in this of like, you did accuse me of awful things last episode, but you did apologize. I'm still waiting for your full apology though. However, You know what you could do? Take
I haven't had sex in a while.
I like how forward she is because Mycroft has no idea what he's doing. And she's just, she like gives him her private number and he's just like, well, I have your other number, your work number. Like, why would I need your private one? And she's like, I don't know. Maybe you would like to get a drink sometime. And he's like, drink what? And she's like, I don't know. That's up to you. and she's just like, balls in your court. Call me. I like how forward she is. That's fun. Yeah. I like her.
Well, because you have to be because he's clueless. It's very
absolutely. But yeah, that's what I had.
So I didn't write down as many things as I often don't, and partly because I kept being deceived by the false endings, and so my notes kind of went all over the place right at the end, because it's like I'm still trying to get them all on the same page because I didn't want to turn a page. What I wrote is best parts. I love John and Mary in this, the fact that Mary's in his head and that it's cleverly written banter, and it's much more fun than like just having an internal monologue, right?
Yeah.
It's an internal dialogue with an actual person, which is kind of fun. I love Mrs. Hudson. Oh my God. I love her so much in this episode. This is fucking great. Yura's, and I have a question mark by her because there's some very cool things. She has some very good lines. She mentions something early in the episode when she is Faith to Sherlock, and she says that you're the nicest of all of them. And I think that that's something that kind of comes back later too. But of the all of them, because she's been very focused on people surrounding Sherlock. So that would include Mycroft. That would include John, Mrs. Hudson, people like that. And she's been very observant, deductive, and we see that that's a family trait about that. So I find that really interesting. I do enjoy the Mycroft and Lady Smollett thing. I just think that is hilarious. As you know, just things within or subtle things within the episode. And I really feel like as a villain, Culverton Smith is a good fucking villain.
He's a great villain. I forgot to write him down. He's just that good.
Right. I mean, it's just like he's so obviously and thoroughly a villain that is
yeah,
like,
unapologetically a villain.
Yeah, I mean, he killed hundreds of people and enjoyed it. It's like, wow.
But he also did it in a clever way, because, like, yeah. I like the way he draws the parallels between him and H.H. Holmes of just like, well, he was an idiot. I chose a place where people die every day and no one would blink an eye.
Right.
Bat an eye. Like, right. I mean, you wouldn't think, oh, no, someone died in a hospital. Oh, no, that's so unexpected.
And even in the interview with Lestrade, he's like, think about how famous I'm going to be. And Lestrade's like, you're already famous. Everybody knows you's like, but now everybody,
And I think that's an interesting thing, because in a way, and I, this is me just like digging deeper, but I think that in a way he kind of wanted to get caught.
Yeah.
Because he loves being, he's a big people person, literally. But he loves to be in front of a camera. He loves to interact with other people. He's charming to a certain degree. He's also creepy, but he can be charming when he needs to be. He can turn it on, and he wants to be well known for like everything. And so in a way, when he's like confessing to all of them, he wants to take credit for it. And it made me think about how like most serial killers in particular, like if you're just a killer of like one person and you do want to cover that up for the most part. But for a serial killer, there is an aspect to it of like, you want to be known for this. You want to take credit. And I think that's an interesting thing to like delve deeper into with this character of like, he's confessing to literally anyone who will listen that he is a serial killer. And they're just like, you're funny. You're not. Yeah. That's really funny. And then even when Sherlock like says it, he's just like, I'll capitalize on that. I want to confess to even more. It's just funny to me. He's a very interesting character.
Yeah, he is. And it's kind of the opposite of the secretary character in the
previous. Exactly.
Because like she is, you know, and in the end, like wanting to take credit for the things that she had done. But she'd always wanted to fly under the radar before that. And even at the end, like she's putting herself in a situation where she knows she's going to get killed. She shoots Sherlock. She's going to get taken down for sure. Mm-hmm. But that is the opposite of Culverton Smith. Culverton Smith is just fucked up. I love him as a villain in this. What were your worst parts?
See, this is hard because I'm going to admit, when I first watched this episode, I did not like it that much. I for I think it was the way it was told, especially the Culverton Smith stuff. I was like, okay, well, this is kind of random. What the fuck is he doing? Like, and then also the elements of it not being faith, and then it was the unreliable narrator bit when I initially watched it that really caught me off guard. And because you can usually, even if Sherlock is off his tits on drugs, you can usually trust him to know what's up. But him not knowing, like, threw me for a loop. So I was like, oh shit, okay, well, that's not great. What the fuck is happening? Who's driving this bus?
I wanted to add something to that. So they showed surveillance video of Sherlock going around town, and there he was alone.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't know how Euros did any of that, but sure.
Yeah,
She's
I don't either.
magic.
It's interesting. Proceed.
But yeah, I think the way the story is told, it lends itself to it's definitely better on repeat viewings, because I initially thought I didn't like this episode all that much, but then I rewatched it with my roommate last year, and I was like, oh wait, no, actually this is actually a great episode. But that really, like, it's a character study in a powerful serial killer who could get away with it if he like let him, if he wasn't so addicted to getting credit for it and wanting to be well known and infamous. But
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think that it's hard on a first watch to be like, oh, okay, well, this is just a weird way to tell the story. And there are certain elements where I'm like, you didn't have to do it, like flashing back and forth. Like, for instance, the whole John, it flashing back and forth between John giving the interrogation with Lestrade plus that confrontation. I feel like they could have easily just done the confrontation and then Lestrade and John afterwards see the like news story that Culverton does, and then it just leads linearly to the next thing. But they
Right.
decided to do it in a non-linear way, and I was like, why? But
There's a little too much of that story within a story within a story in this to me. Yes, go ahead.
and then I put the twist perhaps just because I have mixed feelings about this twist. And it's like a big part of this season, and it's definitely an interesting one. I think Euros is an interesting character. I think that what little we know of her in this episode is interesting, and I was curious of like, oh, that's interesting. How are they going to do that? But there are certain parts of it, and especially in the next episode, where I'm just like, okay, that's weird. But in this episode, I think it is a cool twist for her to be all of those people touching all of their lives in different ways and just throwing them for a loop and being like, oh no, that was me. Don't worry about it. That was me. Also, I don't know if we mentioned, but when Sherlock puts the note, the original note, under a black light, it says, Miss me in invisible ink,
Yeah.
which that's hilarious.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that. I don't know how to feel about the twist at this point, like it with the
So,
information that we have.
I feel like, and it may be just me stretching here, but there's a lot of Shakespearean analogy going on in this season. So I'm going to throw this out there as a possibility. It's like The Tempest. So you have
Yeah.
Euros as the id, you've got her as Caliban, basically, and you've got Mycroft as the super ego, the Ariel in this, and then of course the kind of mid, Prospero, whatever, is
You'd
Sherlock.
think it would be Mycroft who would be Prospero trying to like do all the machinations, but it just, yeah, we're actually reading The Tempest right now in my Shakespeare class, which is funny.
I did a paper on the Tempest in the way back in the olden
There's
times.
a lot to say about it.
There is. I
It's
haven't
certainly
seen a
interesting.
performance of it in ages. I
I did see it like was it last year or the year before? It We went for Shakespeare Club and we went to see it at the Shakespeare Tavern.
Yeah.
It was an interesting production. I think one of the most interesting things that you can do with The Tempest is the relationship among those three characters. And it just, I think it's more interesting with the idea of Prospero being an awful person and him being like, well, you guys were not fine on this island. Like Ariel was stuck in a tree, but Caliban was okay on this island and he came in like a colonizer and is just like, yep, it's mine now. I'm magic. You have to do all that I want. But then he exploits all these people for what they're worth, and he doesn't let them go. And I think that's an interesting element. I don't know why we're talking about the Tempest, but I do understand the idea of that you're getting at in a way.
Yeah. So among my worst parts, I think the death hospital is just creepy to me. I think the worst part, and this may have affected the first watch that we had with this, the way Culverton Smith talks about like the queen is a serial killer kind of thing. You know, it's that whole anti-establishment. I'm part of the establishment, but I'm anti-establishment, and I can't be touched. And mm-hmm. and so I feel like there was a little bit of that, you know, all structures are evil and serial killers. I feel like that kind of chaotic mindset is not something, it's certainly not something I buy into. And it, you know, it's like, you know, all rule of law isn't really law. It's just, you know, enforcing somebody's view. And I'm being kind of a purist in that way. I don't, you know, the idea is that it is neutral and is applied uniformly. And it should apply to everyone. No one, and John even says this in this episode, no one's above the law kind of thing. You know, no one's untouchable. And that is my viewpoint. But again, you get into your Culverton Smith, rich, famous, oh, you know, I can get away with anything mindset. And it really bothers me. It really bothers me to like hear that almost glorified in a way. So that was a big negative for me. Like just that, while that, I think that there are a lot of people out there that believe that, and that believe that rules don't matter. And that's very, very upsetting to me. So, you know, just the idea of that anywhere it comes up rubs me raw. But it's still, you know, it doesn't make it a negative episode. It just kind of, people can latch onto that phrase in a way that can be twisted. Mm-hmm. So that bothered me. What grade did you give this episode?
A minus?
Yeah, I gave it an A minus. I think it's a really good episode. I'm not going to give anything else away, but I definitely think it's better than the last episode, for sure. For sure. Yes, definitely. Okay. Despite the fact that it has the Lord of the Rings ending. Hey, I love the Lord of the Rings. So, hey. So there we go. We do have one more episode of Sherlock. We are hoping that you join us. And
cheers.